Ladies and gentlemen, here is the hard-hitting Melvin!
I get on this mic every week, and I talk to you for an hour. This is episode number 174 of The Fire You Can't Put Out, and you would think, by now, sitting with somebody for 174 episodes, which, by the way, is over 174 hours, because some of these shows are longer than an hour. Some of the earlier shows even went into the hour and a half range, and then as the show progressed, I dialed it back a little bit and said, these shows probably shouldn't go for more than an hour. Most good podcasts are like half hour to an hour, generally not much longer than that, because shows can tend to ramble after that point. So you would think, and by the way, there's 168 hours in a week, so we could play this show 168 an entire week, 24 hours a day, and you would not hear the same show twice. So you would think, sitting with somebody for that long, you would know a lot more about them. You would know something personal about them. Me, I have shared many a personal story here on this microphone. But one of the things that I have not shared with you is my inability to sit still. Nobody stays busier than I do. It's a problem as much as it is an asset, a liability as much as it is an asset. I have a compulsion towards quite a few things. I got it in my head at a very young age that I'm only here for a certain amount of time, and that's not specific to me. That's really all of us and any of us. And for me, my very, very brief time here, when I was younger, I was fairly certain that I wasn't going to even make it to adulthood, considering some of the rough neighborhoods that I grew up in. But now that I'm here, and I'm still here past age 30, I'm trying to do as much as I can with the short time that I have on this planet. And I feel like time itself is so precious, we should be working towards the things that we really want to do. I've done this show for a couple of years now, and I do it every week out of my house, and I have a ton of fun with it. I devote a lot of time to it. I don't get paid for it, but it doesn't matter because I love doing it so much. For years and years, I spent a lot of time as a musician, writing, recording, learning to play instruments, going to vocal lessons, live performances, Annie and all the rest, and I loved it. Once again, I didn't make a lot of money on it. A couple of years ago, I was asked to DJ a wedding for some family members. I jumped at the opportunity. I hemmed and hawed a little bit because I'm going to do something nice for them. Perhaps they're just looking for a free DJ. DJs are probably pretty expensive, $300 or whatever, which but at that time, I really did not know what a DJ cost. And so I jumped at the opportunity just the same. And after doing it, I was heaped with praise. I was heaped with praise by family members, though. And I said, yeah, fine, they're family members. They're going to heap me because they're family members. Family's just nice to each other. But then I thought about it. Nobody has to do anything for anybody, ever. Maybe what these folks were saying to me was coming from a genuine place. I came home and I just threw something up online. And over the next year or so, I just watched to see what will happen with it. Tried to learn a little bit about the DJing business. This past year, I jumped into it with both feet and got in over my head. Now, that's not a bad thing. And the reason I'm telling this to you now, for a couple of reasons. One, I've missed a couple of episodes of this show because I have started a business. It started out with one employee, and now it has two employees, and I am now bringing in an income. I'm bringing in an income that will eventually surpass what I'm making at my 40-hour-a-week job, and I never saw that happening, but because of that, I am essentially working three jobs right now. One of them is this show. Yes, I don't get paid for it, but it still takes a lot of time, but I don't want to let it go. And I want to assure you that this show is not going anywhere. This show will be here for as long as I am here. When one of my jobs goes by the wayside, it's going to be my driving job, not this and not DJing. So I started a business this year. And the other reason I say this is because I've always wanted to start a business, but I actually found myself saying this, and I probably said this 100 times, man, I'd sure love to start a business, but I don't have any talents or ideas or anything that I can do that people would want to pay me for, and this is something that I'm doing now that folks have started me paying for. So in the short term, this show, The Fire You Can't Put Out, TFYCPO, will suffer a little bit while I'm making the transition back into only having 2 jobs and not 3 jobs. But up to that point, I will work as hard as I can to get out, to try to stay on a regular schedule. I try to do that. I feel like it's very important to get these shows out to you. And then in a more broad context, I want to say to you, hey, you too are only here for a short amount of time. And it's true. When you start a business, you will work 80 hours a week. And the rewards that you will see initially will not be that great. But there's a reason why so many people start and run their own businesses. And if you're disciplined and you've got an idea, something you can bring to the marketplace, then you should do it. You should give it a try. Now, some will succeed. Some will fail. Hell, this one that I have, as well as it's doing right now, it may still fail. But it doesn't matter. Giving it a shot anyway. Jumping in with both feet. And what I'm working right now probably exceeds 80 hours a week. And it's not just because of the DJing thing. You know, it's the other jobs I do too, up to and including this one, and still trying to be a good dad and nanny and all the rest. But I want to say to you, hey, your time is brief. Hey, Melvin, I'm going to live to 100 years old. Fine. Think about that in the grand scheme of things. How old America is, how long the planet has been around. And it's been around longer than 5,000 years. What is 100 years? It's not even a blip in the grand scheme of things. Your time is brief, but it can be very impactful. And by the way, it's your life. Get what you can out of it, because there's a lot to be had. And there's a lot of opportunity. And I understand not everybody has the resources, but if you've got an idea in your head, you can make it in this country. I believe that. And I know it seems like I get on this mic every week and I do a hit piece on America. I don't. What I do is I point out some of America's shortcomings, how we got to that place, and what we can do about it. I'm working to provide solutions. So many folks are talking right now about leaving the country if Donald Trump becomes president. Even my beautiful bride has said, perhaps we should leave the country if Donald Trump becomes president. Nah. Donald Trump becomes president, I'm staying here. And I'm gonna work harder for this than ever. Plus, bloody hell, I just started a business. What do you want me to go somewhere? I just started a business here. Man, I can go to Reykjavik or I can go to Canada. And then I got to learn the freaking music that those people listen to. Gosh, dang it, I'm not. Hey. I just spent my whole life learning this country's damn music. I'm not ready to jump ship, all right? Stay here. Anyway, let's get into some of the issues that this country has been dealing with in the past week. Thank you again for your patience.
Melvin, thanks for sharing that. That's amazing. That's just amazing.
Ago in Orlando, Florida, 49 wonderful Americans were savagely murdered by an Islamic terrorist. This time, the terrorist targeted LGBTQ community. No good. And we're going to stop it. As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology. Believe me.
Believe me. So believable.
And I have to say, as a Republican, it is so nice to hear you cheering for what I just said. Thank you.
Something has been happening this election season that we have not seen during any other election season. The Republicans have been running really hard to the right with respect to our LGBTQ community and trying really, really hard to let them know that they do not like them. And they do not believe in their lifestyle. And they are flat out going to hell. But beginning with Cruz, I suppose, we began hearing something quite a bit different.
Whether you are gay or straight, the Bill of Rights protects the rights of all of us to live according to our conscience.
And then Donald Trump hit the stage and he spoke out in favor of them. So, is the GOP now a gigantic group of folks who believe in equality, much like progressives in the Democratic Party does? Let's explore that a little bit. My short answer would be no. And it goes like this. Mike Pence initially wanted to run for president. He started out as a radio host. He becomes a congressman. He becomes a governor. And he passes the most horrible anti-gay law that this country has ever seen. And he ended up in the hot seat in a way, and I know most folks don't remember this. If Mike Pence is a name that politicos know. Folks like myself know. You talk to anybody who pays a fair amount of attention to politics and they will, oh, Mike Pence, oh yeah, that's that horrible anti-gay guy. So, this election, as soon as Donald Trump got the nomination, we said the same thing about him that we said about Romney back in 2012. We said, how can we connect Romney to the Ryan budget? And then he picked Paul Ryan to be his vice president. Was the election in the bag? No, not necessarily, but we were a little closer to victory because of that. This year, we said, and I believe for at least since the 2012 election, that this country will never again elect a homophobe. So Donald Trump comes out. Pro-gay. Let's protect our gay brothers and sisters. And then the Democrats say, how can we connect him to the horribly anti-gay Mike Pence? And then he picks Mike Pence for his VP. And once again, we are a little bit closer to victory. Now, Mike Pence has been keeping a really low profile. And when he's been out on the stump, he hasn't gotten into any of his anti-gay stuff, but honestly, that's all he's known for. That's what he was known for as a congressman. That's what he was known for on his talk show. That's what he was known for when he was governor. And if this show has anything to say about it, that is what he is going to be known for in this election.
Of course, every American has a unique identity. I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican, but most of all, I am proud to be an American.
There are a lot of things that are going to get whitewashed in this election, but this is not going to be one of them.
Well, let me be clear. Donald Trump may be a rat, but I have no desire to copulate with him.
That audio really didn't have a lot to do with anything. I just think it's hilarious audio. So after the attack that Trump spoke of, in that earlier clip, the attack on the Pulse nightclub, we immediately began hearing from this nation's pastors about exactly what they thought about the Pulse nightclub attack.
Hey, are you sad that 50 pedophiles were killed today? No, I think that's great. I think that helps society. You know, I think Orlando, Florida is a little safer tonight. It is unnatural for a man to be attracted to another man. The tragedy is that more of them didn't die.
And I think it's incredibly important to point out that these folks don't just exist in these outside bubbles. These folks are supporters of Donald Trump. Donald Trump even went and spoke at a convention that was just absolutely loaded down with these folks. And already, and by the way, Donald Trump is not a Christian. I don't know whether or not Donald Trump believes in Christ, but Donald Trump is using religion in this election in the same craven way that politicians use religion in essentially every election. And that's just to get elected. They don't really care. Donald Trump has talked about cutting programs to help poor people, not Christian, has talked about not only not welcoming refugees and immigrants, actually kicking them out, and then if they're Muslim, making them register so that we know that they're here, where they're going, what they're doing. Also, not Christian. Donald Trump has talked about using nuclear weapons. Why can't we use nuclear weapons? Also, not Christian. Now, by the way, nuclear weapons did not exist in Christ's time, but I'm fairly certain Christ never said, how the hell can I kill 100 SOBs or maybe 100,000 SOBs in one fell swoop? Fairly certain, not a biblical scholar here, not a theologian, but I'm pretty sure those words were never, ever uttered. And Trump has even gotten so craven, he's under audit right now by the IRS, and he doesn't want to release his tax returns. The IRS has said, go ahead, release your tax returns. Being under audit does not prohibit you. And he said, you know what? The reason I'm under audit right now is because I'm such a strong believer in Christ.
But the one problem I have is that I'm always audited by the IRS, which I think is very unfair. I don't know, maybe because of religion, maybe because of something else, maybe because I'm doing this, although this is just recently.
What do you mean religion?
Well, maybe because of the fact that I'm a strong Christian and I feel strongly about it, and maybe there's a bias.
You think maybe you get audited for being a strong Christian?
You see what's happened. I mean, you have many religious groups that are complaining about that. They've been complaining about it for a long time.
Tony Perkins is the head of the Family Research Council, and Tony Perkins is a horrible anti-gay person. Now, the Family Research Council is recognized by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group, just like the KKK. And the White Knights, and some of these other white separatist groups. It's amazing how many of these groups that are registered as hate groups with the SPLC have gotten right behind Donald, and not in the way that you think I mean.
President Obama has extolled the virtues of fatherhood even as he has fought for same-sex marriage. In essence, saying two same-gendered persons can parent as well as a mom and a dad. This contradictory message is more than disappointing. For our children throughout the country, it is devastating. It reduces mothers and fathers to genderless caregivers. Our children deserve better. They deserve a mom and a dad. And we pay a price for this incoherent ideological campaign by havoc in our homes and blood in our streets.
That's Tony Perkins of the aforementioned hate group. And it seems to most folks that Donald Trump just sort of popped up out of nowhere. Because here, for Hillary Clinton, the media has been talking about her running for president for the last 8 freaking years, which I'm pretty sure made President Obama feel effing great. Not only does he run against her for a year and a half or 2 years, and then serve as president for 8 years, but during that entire time, 10 years, he has to listen to the American media talk about how Hillary Clinton is going to run for president. And now she's actually running for president. Donald Trump, it seemed, though, just popped up out of nowhere, right? The American right has been being groomed for the last number of years by a talk show host you may or may not know about. Well, his real name is Michael Wiener, but realizing that he probably is going to get made fun of, or maybe he did get made fun of growing up. That would be awful. Anyway, he decided to change his name to Michael Savage. And it's probably appropriate, but I also think it's funny that there is a gay guy, a very famous gay guy, who, by the way, has talked about this show on his show, named Dan Savage. And the two are at absolute odds. Either way, Donald Trump would regularly go on this guy's show. And this guy, Michael Savage, is one of these horribly anti-gay people. One of the more famous things, and I've played this clip on this show before, one of the more famous things that he did, he used to work for MSNBC. He used to be on the TV machine. And he got kicked off after he told a gay caller to go and die of AIDS.
I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... because your teeth are real
all
bad.
Right, all right. So you're one of those sodomists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a sodomite?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that?
Oh.
Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to put me down, you piece of garbage? You got nothing to do today? Go eat a sausage and choke on it. Get trichinosis. Okay, we have another nice caller here who's busy because he didn't have a nice night in the bathhouse, is angry at me today. Huh? Get me another one. Put another sodomite on. No more calls? I don't care. Let's go to the next scene. I don't care about these bums. They mean nothing to me. They're all sausages.
You can hear somebody off camera. Just, whoa! Jeez! Now, the Savage Nation went from television to radio. And by the way, the Savage Nation is still on. And it doesn't get talked about a lot, and it's been widely reported by good sources that Donald Trump was a regular guest on the Savage Nation. And what you know about Michael Savage now, and you have to know, he's on the far, far, far right fringes, horribly anti-gay. Let's cut all the programs that help poor people. Let's have more and more war. We can never, ever, 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 ever have enough war. There are not enough dead people in the world. We do not spend enough money on the Pentagon. 55% of our budget, our federal budget, goes to the Pentagon. That is not enough. That's Michael Savage, and that is the show that Donald Trump would regularly make appearances on. So it's no wonder that now that Donald Trump is officially running for president and has officially gotten the GOP nomination, that you hear Michael Savage, still on the air by the way, say things like this.
The wind that is emerging from these violent left-wing fanatics is a wind that is being used to lift the Trump airplane. And I personally think after this is all over and Trump becomes the next president of the United States, I personally believe you'll look back and you will see that there's God's hand in all of this. I don't want to get into the God thing because it starts to turn me off. I see spiritual elements in certain things, and I don't think things happen by accident. I believe that Obama was put here to show us just what could happen under a corrupt left-wing administration, period. And I believe that Trump is the counterpoint to these 8 years of corruption and communism in the United States of America. Or if you don't like the word communism, call it whatever you want. It certainly isn't Americanism.
But Melvin, that's one guy, maybe two guys, who are super religious and also super anti-gay. And it's not as though Donald Trump has appeared with any of these anti-gay people at any of their conventions. Hold that thought, young man or young woman. American Renewal Project, ARP, the American Renewal Project. I would like to introduce you to David Lane, the head of the American Renewal Project.
So here we are, killed 60 million babies, red ink as far as the eye can see, homosexuals praying at the inauguration. If America gets mercy, I believe this doesn't sound good. I think the process of mercy looks like probably car bombs in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. and Des Moines, Iowa. I think if we get mercy, the process is going to be a very painful process.
They held a convention about a month ago. And yeah, Donald Trump appeared at that convention and he spoke after them. I have to take a little bit of issue with what he just said. Now, once again, car bombs in Los Angeles. Perhaps that is what mercy would look like. I remember specifically reading that in the Bible where Jesus hath said, mercy for my people, mercy upon those who deserve it. Mercy upon those who need it, who need my grace, who need my love. And sometimes, mercy hath look like car bombs in Los Angeles. Now, I may be reading a newer revised version of the Bible, or perhaps we need a newer revised version of the Bible. Conservapedia, remember talking about this story a little while back, Conservapedia was talking about releasing a new Bible. A conservative Bible, something that reflects the modern GOP. And doesn't that sound so fitting? When the Bible doesn't comport with their un-Christian-like hate, they decide that they don't need the change, that the real change needs to come in the form of a Bible written by this group of folks that is being promoted by not just one hate group. Those would be the white supremacists and the KKK and the white knights and all those freaking people that I can't remember right now. But also by the horribly anti-gay religious groups in America.
Evangelicals, for the Christians, for everybody of religion. This will be maybe the most important election that our country's ever had. So go out and spread the word. And once I get in, I will do my thing that I do very well. And I figure it's probably maybe the only way I'm going to get to heaven. So I better do a good job. Okay?
My thing that I do very well. Don't worry about the specifics. Oh, and by the way, this is probably the only way I'm going to get to heaven. I would like to say you're probably not going to get to the pearly gates, Donald, because as the Bible said, now this isn't the new Bible. This is the old Bible. It said something in the neighborhood of easier for to fit a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And if your words are to be believed, you are a very rich man. So that was Donald Trump speaking at the American Renewal Project. Yes, speaking after David Lane. Now, I could have pulled dozens of audio clips from the convention of the American Renewal Project, but you get the point. Person after person, hate monger after hate monger, religious leader after religious leader, just pushing, just slamming gay people. And then this guy, Trump, the GOP nominee, who got up in front of a Republican audience and says, we need to protect the LGBT community. I'm so happy to hear Republicans applauding when I say we need to protect the LGBT community. Thank you. That fills my heart. Thank you. I feel so good. Mike Pence standing right behind him. And then he heads down the road to the American Renewal Project. And after one of the largest hate fests to happen this year against the LGBT community, then Donald Trump gets up and speaks to the crowd.
Our government isn't giving us good protection. Our government has unleashed ISIS. I call President Obama and Hillary Clinton the founders of ISIS. They're the founders. In fact, I think we'll give Hillary Clinton the, you know, if you're on a sports team, most valuable player, MVP. You get the MVP award. ISIS will hand her the most valuable player award. Her only competition is Barack Obama between the two of them.
So what was it about Ted Cruz that he wasn't able to snag the nomination himself? He too was hugely anti-war. He too was horribly anti-gay. He too seemed like he's super religious and also wanted to cut all these programs that help poor people.
Any president who doesn't begin every day on his knees isn't fit to be commander-in-chief of this country.
Copulating Trump, starting the day on your knees, I don't understand how you did not get the nomination, and I do not understand why people think that you're so anti-gay. Because you sound like you might be down.
The Bible says if you engage in homosexuality, your body will do things that will penalize you. So if you can have a vaccine for AIDS, then you're keeping your body from penalizing you. I don't think they'll ever find a vaccine for AIDS.
You remember this oldie but baddie that was promoted during the 1980s where AIDS is a gay disease, and AIDS is God's way of saying that you should not be the homo. No, 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 no homo. And so gay people get AIDS. And by the way, it was certainly prominent in the gay community, but it didn't remain there and does not remain there to this day. There's quite a few countries in Africa that are absolutely riddled with AIDS, and they're not getting a lot of help. It's still wiping out entire nations over there. So what is that? Is that God intervening because there's so many gay people in Africa? Not that there isn't. I'm fairly certain that there is. But I think a lot of the people dying from this particular disease, the one thing that they all have in common is that they're human. And that should be the larger cause. But if you're religious, and you back Donald Trump. These are the wild-eyed things that you believe.
The reason that HIV was invented as the cause of AIDS is it was a way to get research money.
The parties are not, in any way, mirror images of each other. The things that are happening on the conservative, deep, dark red religious right, they're not the same things that are happening on the progressive side. Now, by the way, the Democrats, for damn sure, they've got their issues as far as I'm concerned. They, too, are fairly cozy with war. They, too, also have an issue where they're too cozy with Wall Street. They, too, are too willing to compromise with Republicans and cut programs that help poor people and not as willing to cut the Pentagon budget so that we can take care of our people. The Democrats have issues as well. But when Ash Carter came out and said, we are no longer going to discriminate against the trans community, that is something you will never hear come from a GOP administration.
Now, as a result of this year-long study, I'm announcing today that we're ending the ban on transgender Americans in the United States military. Effective immediately, transgender Americans may serve openly, and they can no longer be discharged or otherwise separated from the military just for being transgender.
And this isn't all Republicans. Let me say that up front. There have been more than a few Republicans that have begun to split with the party. What generally has to happen with a Republican, though, and this is almost always true, is it has to hit them personally. It has to hit them at home before they will speak out for the LGBTQ community. They find out they have a gay daughter, something of that nature, a gay uncle, or whatever it is. That's when they usually come out and say, you know what, it's BS that we are coming out against this community, this harmless community, this community, by the way, of human beings. Now, Montel Williams. I don't know a ton about Montel's family history, but I do know this. Montel Williams is a conservative, and a black conservative who came out this year for John Kasich. Clearly a conservative. I saw him doing ads for payday loans. The guy's a conservative. But after Donald Trump became the nominee and he picked Mike Pence and the horribly anti-gay just started flooding out, even though Donald Trump won't personally say that he himself is against gay people and has even spoken out for them, it's pretty clear the kind of operation that they're trying to run.
I can't remain silent when we direct hate towards an entire race of people, Hispanics, when we direct hate towards an entire religion, Muslims. I can't stand silent when we direct hate towards the LGBT community. We're hating our own daughters, our own sons, own lives. It blows my mind that I put on a uniform to defend this Constitution against all. And we have people right here who would actually take away the rights from as many as they could.
The reason the Trump campaign and some conservatives are coming out for the LGBTQ community is for the same reason that they came out in favor of religion and religious bigotry. And it's Craven. He realizes, Donald Trump does, he can't win without any gay votes. He needs some. They're a pretty sizable constituency. He's also walked back some of his speech about immigration because he realizes he can't win if he keeps speaking ill of Muslims. He can't win if he continues speaking ill of Latinos. He can't win if he continues speaking ill of the LGBT community. So it's Craven, and it's nothing more than him trying to make damn sure that he wins. So in public, he's saying, we need to protect them. We need to be there for them. These are our sons and our daughters and our families and our uncles. And man, who doesn't love having a gay uncle? Mercy. But all the things that he's putting into practice, not the things he's saying, the things he's putting into practice, that is much, much different. And perhaps this is why Donald Trump remains wildly unpopular, even though he's trying to take these half-assed mainstream positions.
There is some sunshine in this poll for Mr. Trump, though. The American people have exactly as good of an opinion of Donald Trump as they do of personal injury lawyers. And Donald Trump does beat bed bugs rather resoundingly. Americans prefer Donald Trump to bed bugs by a whopping 22-point margin. Earlier in the campaign, you might remember, he lost to lice. So in this case, him beating bed bugs is very good news for him and his campaign. The bed bugs, for their part, they want a recount.
And remember, no matter what you hear come from the GOP nominee's mouth this campaign, you need to look at what he is trying to put into practice, what he is trying to put into practice with the people that he keeps around him, with his pro-Russia policies, with his pro-Putin talk. And by the way, it's illegal to be gay in Russia. And Putin is one of the most horribly anti-gay people in the freaking world. You need to not only listen to his words, you need to see what he's putting into practice, and you need to see who he's surrounding himself with when it comes to these pastors.
Praise God! Because what this world is pushing, what Hollywood is pushing, what the news media wants to push is not normal!
It's perverted!
We are less than 2 months away from the end of this campaign, and despite what you're hearing as of late, and I can't say that I know who's going to win the fall election, but I can say this. Love will trump hate.
The best way I can sum up what I hope this election will lead to, the conclusion we will reach together in November, and the work we will do for the next 4 years, just remember, love trumps hate.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Goldman Sachs, for answers to the world's most pressing economic questions, from the future of finance to the disruptive potential of artificial intelligence. Tune in to Exchanges at Goldman Sachs, the firm's podcast. Each episode features in-depth discussions with some of the firm's leading experts on the markets, evolving industries, and the global economy. Subscribe to Exchanges at Goldman Sachs on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, or listen at gs.com/podcast.
NPR is believed to be the liberal media. And not just the liberal media, one of the highest forms of the liberal media. And I have to be honest, and I've mentioned this on the show before, I am not a regular listener to NPR. However good their information may be sometimes, I don't particularly care for this delivery. Coming up next, somebody's going to be talking about stuff. You're listening to NPR. And that's not the way I get down. Holy crap! You could be telling me the most important thing ever! And perhaps I'm a little old school when it comes to radio. I like a little bit of energy. Hell, that's what I pour into this microphone in my house because I have such a love for the format. That said, I am a regular listener to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me because, yes, that show has voice inflection. That show has the news on it, but they're also having a little bit of fun with it. And NPR, I have kept up with what they've been doing, though. And I've been reading more and more, certainly over the last number of years, how as their funding has fallen, their public funding, their federal funding, how that has fallen, they have had to go outside of that in order to keep NPR going. So they have began going to more and more corporations. And if you go to the corporation's going to have some contingencies. The corporation will say, here is some money, but don't talk about what we're doing. We are Exxon. Here is some money, NPR. Don't talk about global warming. And if you do talk about it, you have to bring on one of our experts that tells people that it's not happening. Goldman Sachs, one of the most notorious banks in the world, absolutely helped bring about the 2008 crash that just destroyed American families, right? And markets and people around the world. Hi, NPR. We're Goldman Sachs. Here is a check. How would you like to talk about our podcast on your news show? Okay, now we're paying you for that. But remember, don't talk about how horrible, no good, bad, and evil that we are, right? That we are the devil himself. That we are horrible, 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 greedy people. Don't talk about that. Just mention that we have a podcast and we would just like to help everybody out with their finances. I was stunned when I heard that ad on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. But this is the kind of thing we're going to see as the religion. And it is a religion, and I call it that because you can't prove that it's real. You can't prove that it works in practice. There's only a belief that it works in practice. And essentially, it does work in practice. But it only works for a very, very small handful of elites. And this is the thing that you're going to see more and more of over the next number of years if we continue cutting public funding for public things. There will be more and more corporate interests that will be very happy to step in and cut you a check of ill-gotten gains, to make sure that you do not talk about them. And eventually, there will be another crash. And it's not these folks, it's not the bankers that will be harmed by this crash. It will be you and I. Now, a crash sounds terrible. Anybody that was around in 2008, you know how adversely it affected your life and how horrible it was and how long it took to come back, especially after the Congress decided that they weren't going to do anything. The largely Republican Congress decided we can't do anything ever to help anybody. But even with that, there were more than a few people that absolutely outright celebrated that crash.
For most traders, it's not about... is that we don't really care that much how they're going to fix the economy, how they're going to fix the whole situation. And personally, I've been dreaming of this one for 3 years. I have a confession, which is I go to bed every night, I dream of another recession. I dream of another moment like this. Why? Because people don't seem to maybe remember, but the 30s depression, the depression in the 30s, wasn't just about a market crash. There were some people who were prepared to make money from that crash. And I think anybody can do that. It isn't just for some people in the elite. Anybody can actually make money. It's an opportunity.
It's interesting how there at the end, it's not just for me, the very small handful of elites that make money off this stuff. It's everybody. You can make money off of this stuff because they know that only a very small handful of elites are going to make money off of it. But they have to make it sound like a crash is in your best interest. So this brings us to our current GOP nominee, Donald Trump. Yes, even he celebrated the crash. Do you think that if we have a crash, he or his Congress are going to do anything about it? Of course not. And he has said that. We are virtually guaranteed another crash because after the last one, we did nothing. And when I say nothing, I honestly mean nothing. The things that led to that crash, we did nothing about. Stopping another crash, we did nothing about it. We left everything essentially as it was. Yes, a couple of banks failed. Most of them got bailed out. Most of them now have more money than they had even back then. And the damage that they're going to be able to cause this time around is going to dwarf what they caused the last time around. And Donald Trump has said, yo, that's how I make my money, son.
I see this lowlife tonight, you know. I see this lowlife. She puts on an ad. Did you know that Donald Trump was rooting against housing because he wanted housing to go down because he wanted to buy? And they've got some clip of me from many years ago where I'm saying, yeah, if it goes down, I'm going to buy. I'm a businessman. That's what I'm supposed to do.
We have something called quantitative easing, and I'm not going to get wonky on you right now. But basically, let me put it like this. The Federal Reserve, which, by the way, is neither federal nor do they have any reserves. It is headed up by the head of major banks. That's who's in charge of our paper currency. That's who's in charge of the distribution of our paper currency. Now, our president picks the head of the Federal Reserve. And it sounds very official, doesn't it? But it's not. It's a bunch of bankers. And what's happening right now, and I remember Greenspan talking about this, he said his job was to keep a certain amount of insecurity in the economy, right? To keep the unemployment level at a certain level so that people didn't do too well. He saw his job of leveling out the economy was making sure that people weren't doing too well, that the jobs that they had weren't paying that much, and that they weren't really getting all that great a rate. Well, as of late, we've had quantitative easing. The Federal Reserve has kept rates incredibly low. So right now, your bank will make a car loan to you. If you've got great credit, you're probably looking at 2 or 3%, and that's for a car. And if you're getting a house, you're probably looking somewhere in the 4s. If your credit's not that great, you're probably looking somewhere in the 5s. Now, those are really, historically speaking, those are really great rates, but they're completely artificial, and they are because of quantitative easing as a result of central banking. I said I wasn't going to get wonky, and I hope I haven't gotten too wonky at this point. So here's what they do. The banks borrow money from the feds, and they get it at, say, 0.5%, and then they loan it to you at 2, 3, 4, 5%, right? If you do the math, they're sometimes making 10 times their money back. And up to this point, the Federal Reserve has decided to keep rates nice and low. But as the economy gets better, remember, they have to step in and take corrective action so that things don't start going too good. And also, and banks do this a lot, even when they're not loaning you the money, they are still borrowing the money and then reinvesting it in government treasuries. So they'll borrow it at 0.5%, and then they'll put it into government treasuries, which will pay a percent and a half. And so they're always making money off of the federal government. When they're talking about shrinking the federal government, conservatives by and large, bankers by and large, the people who don't want any regulations, when they talk about getting rid of the federal government, they mean getting part of the federal government, and getting flustered here, the part of the federal government that helps you, the beggared yeomanry, you, the rabble, you, the average working person. They still want the military-industrial complex, which has us in a constant state of warfare and which keeps the military contractors making billions. They still want that. They still want the way that we do banking, because they're making tons of money off of the government from that. So they want to keep those parts there. But the parts that help you, screw you. And we're not only doing it here. There was a politician in the UK that recently stood up and spoke at one of their parliament meetings. And what he said struck a chord with me. He was talking about the central banks in the UK, but this is exactly the same thing that we have going on here.
It is my opinion that you do not really understand the concept of banking. All the banks are broke. Bank Santander, Deutsche Bank, Royal Bank of Scotland, they're all broke. And why are they broke? It isn't an act of God. It isn't some sort of tsunami. They're broke because we have a system called fractional reserve banking, which means that banks can lend money that they don't actually have. It's a criminal scandal, and it's been going on for too long. To add to that problem, you have moral hazard, a very significant moral hazard from the political sphere. And most of the problem starts in politics and central banks, which are part of the same political system. We have counterfeiting, sometimes called quantitative easing, but counterfeiting by any other name. The artificial printing of money, which if any ordinary person did, they'd go to prison for a very long time. And yet governments and central banks do it all the time. central banks repress the amount of interest that rates are, so we don't have the real cost of money. And yet we blame the real retail banks for manipulating LIBOR. The sheer effrontery of this is quite astonishing. It's central banks. It's central banks that manipulate interest rates, Commissioner. And plus, underneath all this, we talk loosely, in a rather cavalier fashion, do we not, about deposit guarantees. So when banks go broke through their own incompetence and chicanery, the taxpayer picks up the tab. It's theft from the taxpayer. And until we start sending bankers, and I include central bankers and politicians, to prison for this outrage, it will continue.
When they win, you get screwed. When they lose, you get screwed. But they win no matter what.
Oh, Melvin, I don't care about this. I don't care about politics. I don't care about Donald Trump. I don't care. I don't want to deal with any of this, man. No. You need to stay engaged. The point of this show is to not make you cynical, but to tell you what's happening out there and also reminding you that there is something that we can do about this. Donald Trump has been fast and loose on the campaign trail for some time, speaking without a teleprompter, and that was seen as an asset until it became a liability for the last number of years. The Republicans have been ripping President Obama apart for using a teleprompter. I don't care if anyone uses a teleprompter. I don't care. Use a teleprompter. Fine. They're great. I don't care. It's not a scandal. Right? And after ripping him apart, they are now just loving all over Donald Trump for using a teleprompter. And now that Donald Trump is using a teleprompter, he is telling you only what his corporate masters wants you to hear.
I don't believe in teleprompters, although it's very easy. Oh, would I like to go up and stand and read a speech for half an hour and just leave? But you know what happens? You wouldn't have sold out crowds like we have outside. I don't use teleprompters. You know what I use? I don't use teleprompters. I watched Hillary the other day. She's the biggest teleprompters I've ever seen. In fact, if you're sitting on that side of the room or that side of the room, you can't even see her.
I've always said, if you run for president, you shouldn't be allowed to use teleprompters. You shouldn't be allowed. Because you don't even know if a guy's smart. He's reading. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. This is wonderful. Speed that teleprompter up. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I joke. But you shouldn't be allowed to use teleprompters.
Of course, that was then, and this is now. Turns out Trump actually really likes his teleprompters these days. He has been using them almost full-time in recent weeks, and not just for speeches, but even at his rallies. Gone are the days of the freewheeling and unpredictable Trump campaign event. Now he's just reading to everybody. In fact, Trump now uses a teleprompter far more than the average candidate. And his most ardent defenders, wary of yet another off-message gaffe, think it's a good idea. Fox News host Sean Hannity, who has repeatedly attacked President Obama for using a teleprompter, thinks it's absolutely fantastic when Trump uses one.
He gave two speeches. Yeah. This is what I think is the secret sauce. Yeah. He only talked about Hillary and Obama. He was on prompter. I like him on prompter myself, my own personal preference.
I don't think I'm telling you anything that you don't know if I tell you that the fix is in. But with that said, it doesn't have to remain that way. Stay engaged. Because what is happening right now is, yes, we are being lied to. Yes, we are being scammed. Yes, it seems like there's no hope. And we, you and I, are being treated like the criminals, like the real criminals. We are not the ones who tanked the economy. We are not the ones who bankrupted the bank. We are not the ones who stole these homes from all these people. We are not the ones who are involved in high-frequency trading, which, by the way, when it raises food prices around the world, causes thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of people to starve and die. And this, in a Christian country, or a supposedly Christian country, we need to stay engaged. We need to listen very closely to what our politicians are saying. And we need to get involved in this banking scam. And it is a scam. And it affects all of us. And in this upcoming election, I know it seems like we don't have a choice. Because both of these candidates are very, very, very cozy with the banks. Yes, I'm looking at you too, Hillary Clinton. $300,000 per speech to Goldman Sachs. Bloody hell. But even with that said, we can still get the Congress. If we have a Democratic president, I'm sorry, it has to be here. It's not going to be him. And we have a Democratic Congress. Congress holds the real cards. I know it's not the Supreme Court necessarily, but Congress holds the real good cards. And we need to get that Congress. We need to get them working for us. Please, turn out. Get us some progressive candidates. Because you and I are not the real criminals. You and I should not feel guilty if we are LGBT or if we are black or brown skin. You and I should not feel guilty if the economy collapses, because that wasn't our fault. I heard more than a few conservative politicians and pundits blame poor people for borrowing money that they couldn't pay back. The rules were loosened because the banks wanted to make more money. And then they put an insurance policy on it because they knew that the loan was going to fail. You and I are and are not the problem. We're not the criminals who lobby for these laws, who want these laws, but we are the people, and this is where our guilt does come in, who stay home on election day because we feel so cynical and feel like we can't do anything that just allows these people to run roughshod over us. I know with these two corrupt candidates, it seems like we can't win, but that's the way they want you to feel. We can win. This is far from over. And I don't know about you, but I am not leaving America. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfycpo. You can listen on the go. Just download the Podbean app at the iTunes Store or at the Google Play Store for Android users. We are also on Kiwi still. Hello, Kiwi. Thank you for being out there. Individual episodes are available for download at the iTunes Store or at Podbean. Just search for The Fire You Can't Put Out. There you can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Questions, comments, hate mail, or just a general statement or inquiry, you can email us at tfycbo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep a growing dialogue with our growing listener base. Come on, feel free. Reach out to us. Come on, touch us. We love you. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and a special thanks to you for listening. This is Melvin, signing off. Now that I have woken you up, good morning.